This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Joy 94.9.
Freshly dug Joycast.
Sponsored by MyMac.
The best Apple computer, iPod, and Apple accessory store in Australia.
MyMac.com.au.
You're listening to Freshly Dug on Joy 94.9. I'm Doug Pollard, and we kick off, as promised, with a whole parcel of news from Harley Dennett. Good morning, Harley.
Good morning, Doug.
So, we have a constitutional amendment standing in our way, according to the AG.
Yes, it's a constitutional issue. Now, I have to be upfront that he won't disclose exactly what advice he has received. He's stonewalling at the moment, but advice from around his office and the advice that he has admitted to receiving seems to suggest that they won't move at all on same-sex marriage at a federal level because they consider it to be a state issue of relationship recognition for same-sex couples, which is possibly why they're continuing to stick with the same-sex relationship registers as a policy, even though it was dropped from official ALP policy just a couple of weeks ago.
And in any case, the states haven't shown very much interest in actually having state-based relationship registers, apart from the few that already have.
Yes, it's rather controversial in New South Wales, where the New South Wales Gay and Lesbian Rights Lobby doesn't want one. The New South Wales Attorney General doesn't want one, so it's not going to happen here. In Victoria, yes, you've got one, the ACT and Tasmania, but it's not going to happen anywhere else. None of those Attorney Generals are willing to budge at all on that issue, and it's debatable about whether or not the gay and lesbian community itself actually appreciates the value of a relationship register over something that will perhaps occur at a federal level. Unfortunately, after speaking to numerous constitutional law experts around the country, I've come to the conclusion that no one really knows where that power ultimately resides. Everyone has an idea that it should be done at a federal level because federal marriage law is done at a federal level, whereas others are arguing that it's not possible to do at a federal level because that wasn't envisaged by Australia's founding fathers.
Well, a lot of things weren't envisaged by the Australian founding fathers. I mean, surely the Constitution has to be a reasonably flexible document.
Yes, well, you would think so, given that interracial marriages also was a factor in Australia that was not envisaged at the time of 1901, and now we don't have an issue with it. So you would think that the Constitution could be seen as a living document like it is in the United States and like various high courts in Australia have done so. But some of the more conservative...
What in America might be called the strict constructionists, the ones who want to read the Constitution literally.
Yes. Or at least read it in terms of original intent, which is the opposite of reading it as a living document.
Mm-hmm.
So we have experts in Australia that believe that because it was never intended to extend to same-sex couples, federal marriage law, that power can only reside at the state level. So the solution to that is to either amend the Constitution or have the states refer their powers relating to same-sex couples to the Commonwealth. And that's never going to happen. You are never going to get all the states agreeing to something like that when they can't even refer the family law matters. WA, for example, still hasn't referred, but in South Australia, still haven't referred their family law matters.
This all sounds to me, Harley, like it's a very convenient little hedge for the AG to hide behind and to say, you know, my hands are tied, I can't do anything, go away.
Now, the issue has been dropped from the meeting that he holds between all the country's attorney generals, the SCAG meeting, as they call it.
Yes, I noticed there wasn't anything on the agenda last time, was there, either?
No. And although there are some things going on in the background that you would hope they could talk about, some positive things for our community, including anti-discrimination work being done in the background, this issue has been completely dropped from it. They're not doing anything in this issue whatsoever.
So they're taking the line that, you know, we've got to make do with what we've got and that's it.
Which is a pretty bitter pill to swallow, considering two states, one territory, have formalised relationship recognition for same-sex couples, and that's it. If that's all they're going to offer the gay and lesbian community, I think that it's possibly time to put more pressure on the federal government to take a more reasonable line in this. And there are people in the current federal government who are actively pursuing that, and we may find that many of those voices will come out during the Greens initiated marriage equality inquiry, which, as I'm sure many of your listeners would know, the submission date for that ends.
Yes, and we must add at this point that the fundies have been getting onto their emails and absolutely flooding the inquiry with anti-same-sex marriage messages, and therefore we need to get on our emails as well and send in relevant submissions before they close. If you go to currentaffairs.net.au, which is this program's blog, you'll find the links to Australian Marriage Equality and also to the Senate inquiry itself, where you can have instructions on how to do that.
This one will be particularly interesting because 5 years ago there was the previous Senate inquiry into same-sex marriage and marriage equality, and it received something like 16,000 submissions, and the vast majority of them were opposed to equality.
Mm-hmm.
This time around, we could seriously see it the other way around, and we're looking at more than 20,000 submissions.
Good Lord.
Incredible for an inquiry of any kind for them to process.
Mm.
But I think that shows just how passionate people believe on both sides of this issue.
Well, there seems to be a lot of panic going on around this issue also. I mean, I noticed that in his Menzies lecture last night, John Howard cited gay marriage as one of the evils that would follow if we had a Bill of Rights.
There is this argument, and it was raised during the national human rights consultations that have been going on for the last 9 months now. Some of it resides around the idea that if you put any of these things into a document, then they can be read by so-called unelected judges. This is the current opposition's line, and it's a line that's being used by many in the legal community, even though those are people who will ultimately probably want to become those unelected judges. That power should reside within the parliament. They should decide what rights exist and what rights don't. Well, that's already the case.
Yes.
Even with a Bill of Rights, that will always be the case.
Yes. I found some of Howard's arguments a bit, I know we're going slightly off topic here, but it got me a bit fired up, slightly kind of disingenuous, because he talks about the three pillars being an independent judiciary, a strong parliament, and a free press. And I think all three of those are a little bit dubious, except for the independent judiciary bit.
I don't think he ever really believed in the free press either.
Well, that's what I mean. I mean, we have a very circumscribed, very small press here, run by two proprietors. So how we can call that a free press, I'm not sure.
And I have to tell you that as a gay journalist in this country, it is extremely hard to get the ear of politicians in this country. Every now and then you'll get a person who you would think would never give you the time of day ends up giving you the time of day to listen to, talk to, and that includes some controversial members of the coalition, like Senator Bill Heffernan and Senator George Brandis, the shadow attorney general.
Yes.
They will speak to you, but the people who are actually making the decisions won't.
No, it's all very, very tightly controlled. Now, look, before we leave you, Harley, I did want to talk about the Australian Defence Force Academy story a little. We'll leave the Constitution alone for the moment. The Australian Defence Force Academy wants to put on a production of Rent, and I gather this is causing some sort of controversy.
Yes, well, they actually already are. They're already playing.
Oh, good.
It's put on by the cadets. So these are people who are training to become full officers in the Australian Defence Forces. And as many of your listeners would know, Rent is an updated version of La Boheme, and it's about people with HIV, and it's a very supportive. It doesn't pull punches on the impacts that HIV and AIDS can have on people.
And this is kind of ironic, given the Academy's stance on the subject of AIDS.
Yes. But it's not just the Academy, it's the entire Defence Force. There is, I contacted the Defence Force to get their official line on it, and you might appreciate that there's a fair bit of spin going on in this. They say that HIV is treated like any other health condition, but it's actually treated as a dangerous infectious condition. So rather than as a chronic condition, which is kind of how most people in our community have come to understand it.
Yeah.
Because it is considered a danger to other people, because of its classification as an infectious disease, you can't be deployed. And if you can't be deployed, then there's not much use for the military to have you, so they drum you out pretty quickly.
Yeah, and did you not tell me that if you're in the academy and they find out you're HIV pos, they throw you out and you don't get any academic credit?
Yes.
That seems discriminatory to me.
It's they legally have the right. There are if you have the condition, then you are not eligible to enlist, and you're not eligible to actually become a full-serving member of the Australian Defence Force. If you contract the condition you find out that you're positive when you're in the Defence Forces, then they can choose to retain you. Currently, there is exactly one person with HIV in the Australian Defence Forces. He's a reservist.
Mm-hmm.
I understand, though obviously I don't know any of his details, but I understand that he developed the condition he'd gone through all of his training.
Hmm.
And I don't know what area he's in, but there are many, many areas of the Defence Force that pose absolutely no risk to a person with HIV.
Yeah.
Just like there are plenty of jobs for civilians. So it does seem quite hypocritical. Rent is perhaps the most controversial musical this school has ever put on. They were once told not to put on Miss Saigon. and I didn't think that was particularly controversial.
Well, no,
it appears to be
anything but.
So they're going out on a limb. This is chosen by the cadets, by the students. You have to understand that in a firmly military culture like this, they don't do it without at least the implicit consent of the commanding officers at the academy. So they're putting it on someone in that institution has decided that they want to show a message of support.
Oh, well, that's good. Perhaps they could go down to the VCA and give them a hand and show them some support as well.
They need it too.
They need it too. Okay, thanks for that, Harley. That was Harley Dennett there in Canberra.
Joy 94.9.
Freshly dug Joycast.
Sponsored by MyMac.
The best Apple computer, iPod and Apple accessory store in Australia.
MyMac.com.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.